Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College presents Liberty Mail with the student fellows of Faith and Freedom.
Welcome back to Liberty Mail. I'm Katie Kenline.
And I'm Grace Riley.
And today we are live with Institute for Faith and Freedom in the underground studio at Grove City College to talk about the State of the Union address that President Biden gave last night, so Thursday. We're going to get this out quickly to you today because we have a lot of thoughts. And last night, President Biden said, "Tonight we can proudly say the state of our union is strong and getting stronger." We're going to dive into some very contentious moments of the night, and then hopefully just go over recap a lot of things for those of you who maybe didn't watch it, or some commentary on things that we all saw across the country last night. Your take, like from the beginning, what are your takes just observing the general feel, emotions of the night?
Yeah, I'll just say overall, after watching it and while watching it, I thought the whole thing was quite appalling. And there were a lot of false, just to be honest, there were a lot of false premises that Biden set up and then made his points off of, a lot of really misleading stuff. The whole thing, again, to start by saying that the State of the Union is great and getting stronger. Throughout his speech, he made claims that he's doing great on a variety of things, such as economics and our economy, which many Americans would disagree with, and the numbers as well. The border, I think that's the biggest thing that especially I want to talk about, because Biden made the claim last night that he's doing great on the border and that he's been having the best policies of anyone. And that's so false, and we'll get into that more. But yeah, just to start with the feel of it, I mean, we can go into the roads were blocked, first of all, by protesters to start. So from outside in, if you want to go into that.
So the speech was scheduled to start around 9 o'clock, and there's always a lot of pomp and circumstance, and everyone arrives, and like the Senate walks over to the – it takes place on the House floor. But what we saw was that protesters who were pro-Palestine, against the Israeli state protesters – with the hope that the president's motorcade was supposed to travel from the White House, however many, it's like 12 blocks to the Capitol, with the hope that the motorcade's route was supposed to be on Pennsylvania Avenue, 250 people, protesters, were sitting in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, had completely shut down that road. They had projected onto one of the buildings around. They were really very critical of the Biden administration, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it was anti-Biden protesters. So they were protesting. One of the signs read something like, "Biden's legacy is genocide." So protesting Biden.
Referring to wanting the call for immediate ceasefire, saying that very similar things we ended up seeing the squad. So like the Democrat members who tend to be very, very progressive, thinks they were holding up signs throughout the night, wearing Palestinian flag pins. But so that was a very interesting thing to see. The one funny thing that the president says to start the night was, "If I were smart, I'd go home now." That got a lot of laughs. It was funny. But from there, there was a lot of
jokes have truth to them. So
the interesting thing is that immediately you could see if you're watching. So we have this while we're waiting for the president. There's roadblocked. You know, he comes like 15 minutes late. You're waiting and you can see all of the Democrat women, most of them wearing all white. A couple years ago, this move was done to celebrate the 100th anniversary of women having the right to vote and women's suffrage. But this year is very explicitly to say that the Democrat women support expanding abortion rights. They say reproductive rights. But it's very interesting because one of the things you could very clearly see as the camera's panning around is Representative Catherine Clark is a Democratic whip on the House floor. So she like is in leadership. She was wearing her whole white outfit with a pin that just literally just said abortion. So it's very clear, like the president doesn't often use the word abortion. I know it's something that we saw last night. He did talk about some. He doesn't use that word, but it's very clear what the Democrat women who were there were wanting. But that was something you could see in the crowd. And, I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, what the president ends up doing with the taking the women's issue, taking reproductive rights, talking about abortion, really going after the Supreme Court. But yeah, do we want to get into
I mean, just to start with that, so I think that some of the quotes that we can pull from what Biden said illuminate this really well. First of all, making the big, bold claim, I promise to restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again. And then again, he thought he was making a good comment, saying those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of woman, which got a big round of applause. Not sure why, but anyway,
yeah. With the Supreme Court sitting in the front. So as we know, all of the government is there, all of the people who all branches are sitting there. His Supreme Court is, I mean, it's not his Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is sitting in the very front row. They don't clap, stand up, anything. They're just there to listen as a formality. But he directly went after basically Justice Alito.
Yeah, which is pretty unprecedented. So he goes after the Supreme Court. In this whole speech, by the way, the just, I guess, the vibe of it, for lack of a better term, or, you know, the nature of it, the tone of it. Exactly. That's the word I'm looking for. So the tone of it was very angry, finger pointy at the other side and at voters who maybe disagree with him. So at conservatives in general, at the Supreme Court, attacking the Supreme Court in his speech. That was very, very interesting. And another thing that I just thought was interesting about that is he opened his speech talking about the threats to democracy from basically Donald Trump, from conservatives, from the right in general. So he begins his speech that way, but he is then attacking the Supreme Court, thinking he should make this the law of the land. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that I think is interesting, obviously, you know, this could be his last State of the Union. He used this opportunity as almost to give a campaign speech. It didn't feel like he was strong or confident in his ability to win in November. It felt like he very much used all these all this attacking to try to set the record straight. It doesn't make him look strong. It makes him look weak and like he's a president for part of the country. Very partisan. And I think the other thing was that he did not focus on a message of unity. And something, it's interesting, something we saw this past week, Nikki Haley drops out. There were some statements in the Biden campaign talking about how he's going to like court Nikki Haley voters and say there's a place for them in our campaign. But honestly, I don't think if I was a moderate conservative or a moderate, his speech was attractive or appealing or unifying. He chose almost not to. It's interesting. He didn't choose the Michelle Obama quote that when we go or when they go low, we go high. He didn't take that route. Instead, he chose to really attack.
And yeah, on kind of beyond that. So back to the focus when the speech opened on quote unquote reproductive rights. It really seemed from the start, like the focus, before he got into much other things, the focus was going for the women, the vote of women. And that's what really came off, I thought, in the start of the speech, that he really wanted to focus on this. That's obviously the issue that the Democratic side chose to dress as. So that was their focal issue for many of them, dressing in support of abortion. I thought that was really interesting. And as a woman voter, I thought it was actually insulting that just he thinks that screaming the word women a lot of times and just mentioning it over and over is what alone should draw women's votes. I actually would like to live in a nation that's sovereign and safe. So my vote would be more earned as a woman if I knew that the borders were secure and that a lot more was happening there. So it was just really, really interesting. That was a lot of the focus. But surprising to me, actually, was that he ended up going into the border. So he brought it up. But the way that he brought it up was to kind of champion himself and say that he's done a great job on the border.
Yeah, he asked for more. He was basically speaking as he looks on his left or all the Republicans in the House. And behind him, obviously, Speaker Johnson. But he continued to look into that part of the crowd and request that they pass a bill and that they put it on his desk and that he'll sign it. But the interesting thing is he says that his work, the result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen in this country. And I think obviously a lot of people calling back from the – there's some like clamor from the members that are sitting there saying that's not true and that – we know the situation at the border is that, I mean, the House tried to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, who's sitting in the front there, because of how poorly he's dealt with the immigration problems that we have, the problems we have at the border. I mean, he doesn't say anything about trafficking. He doesn't say anything about how dangerous.
Well, and the numbers. I mean, so we've reported here on Liberty Mail, we've talked about this a few times now, quite a few times. I've also reported on it for the American Spectator. And the amount of stories all the time coming out about people on the terror watch list apprehended, record numbers of people being apprehended illegally trying to enter. It's complete chaos, the caravans of thousands and thousands of people headed here. And I mean, okay, so Biden says that he's done a great job with the border. Well, I'll just list a few things that have happened over the past few months, and these aren't even including over the past few years how bad things have gotten, but just a few things. This week there was a story that came out saying that the Biden administration admits that flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border has national security vulnerabilities. Yeah, no kidding. So not only are people crossing illegally, they're being flown in and, you know, brought to places like New York City, where hotels have shut down and become shelters, where they're giving out free debit cards to people who have come here illegally. So people are being rewarded for not following our laws. And that is obviously creating more and more chaos. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's been that could be entirely preventable, that this administration has kind of brought forward and made a massive, massive problem. And just a few months ago, so at the end of 2023 in December, illegal crossings hit a record high ever for the month. So like ever in 1 month. So having numbers like that and following that before there are more and more record highs of this, that thousands and thousands, millions of people that we know have crossed and been apprehended illegally, many set free into our country. And on top of that, like, we have to remember those are only the numbers that we know about, because there are plenty entering that we don't. And as you mentioned, human trafficking is a very significant issue. And that's gotten worse also. And we also cannot forget the amount of fentanyl that has come through our borders because of this and under Biden's watch. Now, Biden also mentioned during his speech, he mentioned something about, I can't remember the exact line, but something about how that's really been fine and he's done things to stop the flow of fentanyl. Well, I've reported over the past year many times where there's been enough fentanyl caught or apprehended to kill the entire U.S. population that's come over illegally across the border. So, point is, the border is a serious, serious problem. Americans know this. Americans agree about this. Americans are concerned about this. And it didn't come across well for Biden to stand up there with all of these things being true. I mean, especially people who live along the border can confirm this even further. People who live in these communities where they're more vulnerable. I mean, for Biden to make the claims that he's doing a great job with this, I thought was appalling and insane.
Yeah. Well, and then the interesting thing that we see here, one of the most contentious moments of the night and a point where the president gets off the teleprompter, and I think we all were like, oh, my goodness, what is happening? And his people were probably very concerned as he goes off a teleprompter. But before the State of the Union, as the president's walking down the center aisle into the on the House floor, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is sitting really close to the aisle, and she has on a shirt that says "Say Her Name" and presses into the president's hand a pin. She hands him a pin that says "Say Her Name, Laken Riley." So, for those of our listeners who don't know, a lot of people have heard about this, but in the past, like, 2 weeks, there was a Georgia nursing student at the University of Georgia named Laken Riley. She was killed while she was murdered while she was going on a run around campus. Now we know by an undocumented immigrant, which that is the politically correct term for someone who's entered the country illegally. And so in the middle of his talk, bragging about his work that he's done in the border, what he's doing to secure the border, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene stands up, yells, "Say her name, say her name." And at this point, the other interesting thing to note is, unfortunately, the president hadn't reached out to the family. There's a lot of he hasn't touched the issue, didn't want to talk about it. So he goes off script and says – he says her name wrong, but he says, "Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal." That's right. "But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?" To her parents, and he looks up to the gallery where – because her parents were invited, they're not there, they don't – they didn't want to be there. Understandably, it's a terrible time for them. He says to her parents, "I say my heart goes out to you. Having lost a child – or having lost children myself, I understand." There's a lot immediately, like, reactions of this around there after the speech. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi says, well, he should have used the word undocumented, but it's you know, that's the correct term. I'm sure his people were not happy about the phraseology he used. I think it's frankly terrible that he chooses to first what could have been a phone call or could have been a conversation, a private conversation with her parents. He chooses to say on air, not private at all or seemingly caring, almost seems like it was a forced thing that he realized he had to do to save face, says that his heart goes out to her parents. It's really terrible how that just went down. It's interesting. It was what Republicans wanted, though. They wanted him to say her name, and I believe that it's a very great thing that it happened. I'm not sure even really how that happened. Like, he chose on his own volition to say it, which is great.
Well, and also Democrats just voted against an act, so
yes,
that's another interesting thing. That same day, there was an act put forth in her name to hopefully prevent things like this, that if an illegal immigrant is, you know, apprehended for some sort of crime, that it wouldn't, that they would be apprehended, basically. So, and Democrats voted against it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, that was an interesting moment for sure. It's always interesting, I think, when the president slips and says something that's maybe not as progressive as many of the Democrats, you know, how they feel. It's very interesting to me when he says things like that, and you start to wonder who's really, like, who wrote this speech then, who wrote some of these things. Because if he's saying, he straight up said that thousands of, but how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? He kind of trailed off, didn't finish that. But that's interesting. He admits that when he's just said he has very tough border security policies.
Well, and I think it's good, at least he should say her name. He should address this. And it would be great if this was backed by some action, but obviously he's not doing that, and there seems to be zero accountability that he thinks he needs to have about the border in general. And just, like, one other thing to note, so former President Trump was sharing things on Truth Social ahead of his speech, and something that he said is true. There's nothing that he can say tonight that will absolve him from letting 15 million people into our country illegally. And that's exactly true. I mean, and of course, there was no admission of that during the speech, but really crazy stuff.
Yeah, the other thing that was interesting, and so going back to the clash kind of between this, the pro-Palestine Congress people, members of Congress, the people protesting on Pennsylvania Avenue, he did go into Israel. And the interesting thing is, a lot of people I was watching with who are more conservative felt like he started off very strong in regards to, he said, "I know the last 5 months have been gut-wrenching for so many people, for the Israeli people, for the Palestinian people, and so many here in America." He said, "This crisis began on October 7th with a massacre by the terrorist group Hamas." This is great. He's calling Hamas a terrorist organization. He fails to say that they're also the elected leadership of Palestine and draw that connection even stronger. But he did say 1,200 innocent people, women and girls, men and boys slaughtered, many enduring sexual violence. Again, he's still talking about terrorist group Hamas. That was very good. They said, and he said, the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. But then he goes on to say, to talk about Gaza too, and issue some very strong warnings to Israel, saying that they need to be very careful with how they deal with this. He calls for a ceasefire. He's asking, which is very controversial thing, very controversial within his own party. I don't know if you had any thoughts about his talking about Israel. And I think it was very good that he called it a terrorist, called Hamas a terrorist group. But he announced that he's that the U.S. is going to be building like a, I don't know exactly what it, in the middle of the
said some sort of floating aid dock.
Yeah, and in order to bring aid to Gaza, yeah, which is a good.
Well, and I missed this part of the speech, just really just the chunk about Israel. So I can't speak exactly to the way that he handled it. I've just been able to, again, kind of look at some quotes afterward for the later part of the speech like this. But I think there's been a lot of back and forth messaging both sides. I think it's good that he obviously began by acknowledging the realities, because that hasn't been something that many on the left have done, unfortunately. So that's good. But yeah, basically, like, and on this issue, so we've been talking about Israel a lot on this show. We've talked about it on a few different episodes. And I guess this is a good time to mention also that you may have seen our conference announcement of this year's annual conference, which is going to be on anti-Semitism and cover some of these things, talk about Israel. So with that being said, you'll see more from us coming soon on the topic. And we're going to be fortunate to sit down with some of the people speaking at the conference. So we'll be bringing you a lot more on that issue soon.
Yeah. And interesting. So I found the quote here. He says, tonight I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the Gaza coast that can receive large ships carrying food, water, medicine, temporary shelters. Interesting thing that I've seen some commentary about online. He says no U.S. boots will be on the ground. A lot of people immediately saying, how are you going to construct this temporary pier then?
Yeah, and also there were some things that came out that we have had U.S. boots on the ground that wasn't made, that wasn't announced. So interesting stuff there. But yeah, that is really serious, where there was also a lot of talk. We're running close to our time here, so we're going to have to end the conversation, unfortunately. But there was also a lot of talk when he started about Ukraine and sending more and more money to Ukraine. And again, this is just something where we've got to be thinking about all the problems we have at home, too, that aren't being solved. So there's just a lot. There's a lot there.
And part of the way he wants to do this is he was talking about a minimum tax rate for every billionaire in the United States to be 25%. Talked about a lot of things that he wants to do with this money, creating like a social and environmental justice core, kind of like the Peace Corps, to work on issues like this. So there's a wide range of issues.
Yeah, and promoting a lot of free stuff. Making it was kind of like campaign pitches for this for free, that for free. I'm changing the price of this, that.
Student loan repayment.
Yeah, and especially with raising the rich tax. I mean, we've talked about that before, maybe even in past seasons of Liberty Mail. It's something that we probably don't need to explain why it's problematic to go down that road. It's something just economically to, because obviously there won't be a cap to that. That'll keep going. Which is not good. So point being, yeah, the tax rate, really interesting, the ways that he proposed paying for things. And also, I mean, just on that note, I forgot to mention even about the border stuff, the amount of money that's being put just in New York towards those debit cards that are going to migrants is $53 million, at least according to an AP News report. So right now... That's a lot. So there's a lot of money going to a lot of things. And that's, I guess, where he's proposing to get it from, but not a good solution. And yeah, we'll have to talk about it more in another episode. Just with time, really having to cut it because of time. Quickly, I want to just touch on the rebuttal that was given from Katie Britt, who's an Alabama senator. She basically... she came at everything Biden said, kind of clapped back, basically on the border claims, he said, a lot of the economic ones. So, and I'll just read a quote from her. She said, President Biden's border crisis is a disgrace. It's despicable and almost entirely preventable. So she really did an interesting and good job in her rebuttal. That's something I would encourage people go watch as well. Mm-hmm. Overall, it was quite a night, and it was a long speech, too, so it was a long night.
Yeah, the speech didn't end until 10:30 mm-hmm. Eastern time. With the interesting thing, almost a sad thing, was seeing President Biden kind of staying on the floor, a little lost on the floor for a while there at the end. And, you know, it's interesting, a night of a lot of tradition and with a lot of Americans watching. And we think, you know,
no one ripped up his speech.
That is a good thing. But I think it left a lot of people thinking, do we really think that our union is strong and getting stronger? When he said, not since the Civil War were freedom and democracy under attack like today. I don't know if his message was really that unifying or really showed strong leadership. When the night was over, I think a lot of people left disappointed, left the speech disappointed, left watching it disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And on that note, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry that we had to cut this a little short as we're on a bit of a time crunch. But really, as you can see, there were a lot of big topics discussed that are hard to get into in this short form. But we thank you for joining us, encourage you to go look into the State of the Union more and watch it yourself if you haven't, or don't. I mean, it wasn't that fun to watch. But anyway, thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.
For more information on the Institute for Faith and Freedom, visit faithandfreedom.com.